My name is Dan Brown. I'm here today again with another A Lens a Day conversations about information architecture. And today it is my great privilege to talk to the canny Cordelia Yu. Cordelia, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me.
So I've been talking to folks about process because I feel like it's one of those things that certainly on the in the IA and content strategy part of the world, part of the UX world, it's not something that we talk about explicitly. We don't sort of necessarily share our methodologies. And it's certainly in the IA space, a lot of those can feel very sort of magic behind the scenes kind of stuff. So I'm trying to shed some light on that. So I'm curious for you in the work that you do around content and maybe content strategy and some of the IA side of that, what are some of the tools and techniques that you've used to help other folks, stakeholders, sort of non-designers kind of come along that process with you? What are some of your favorite tools and techniques?
I think, so I've been thinking about titles a lot, and like for the longest time I've called like myself a content strategist, and I still do, but I think the other thing I call myself these days is a design facilitator. And so like I've picked up a lot of facilitation tools, and in particular a lot of facilitation tools from community engagement, and in particular from like how people work with indigenous communities or with vulnerable communities around co-design and collaborative design. And one of my favorite tools is one that I learned from Audrey Tang and the public digital innovation space in Taiwan, called ORID, which stands for objective, reflective, interpretational, decisional. Objective is what are the facts of the world? What is the thing that we as a group just experienced? Reflective is how, let's think about that experience. How do we feel about that, right? Like, are we positive? Are we negative? Is something giving us anxiety? And so like people get to look at the facts, feel how they feel about the facts. And then interpretational is, okay, so what are the things we could do? What are the worlds of possibility? And then like you think big, you dream big, and you go, we could do this, we could do that, we could do all these things. And then decisional is you go, oh, that world of possibility, which of those paths are we gonna choose, right? Like, and so for me, a lot of it is like, not just bring together stakeholders and experts and like anyone who has like, who ought to have a say in something, and go, and because a lot of times we just go from the facts to a decision and we miss everything in between. And the everything in between is the really hard part of like building consensus, right? Like making sure we have a shared understanding of the world, making sure we have a shared vision of what we want. So I think that is like, and everything else, like I do in content strategy around governance and around like, around editorial process and or everything around design facilitation or like design strategy, like everything, like I now see my entire toolbox fit into all of my tools fit into that toolbox.
That was fantastic. I also think a lot about, and the way I framed it is sort of like, what is the sort of platonic recipe for a workshop, right? When we talk about facilitating, we're doing it sort of in a working session, generally live these days, whether that's in person or remote, but like there's an arc to those things. And that ORID really is a kind of arc that you're talking about. And I love it. I just love it. And sometimes I'm sitting in meetings and I'm like, God, I can't believe we're still talking about this stuff. And then there's that small part of me, the part of me that I call the design facilitator. And I'm like, the conversation is the work. Like the conversation is the deliverable, right? Sometimes we need to this is such complicated stuff. We need to hash it out in these forums. And obviously sort of aimless conversations or, you know, spinning conversations are not, churning conversations are not helpful. But as you're talking, I have to wonder, and I'm completely biased here, but you come from a content strategy background. I come from an IA background. We both gravitate towards this facilitation thing. Do you think this is a niche within the UX spectrum that content folks, IA folks are wired for this kind of thing? What is it about the kind of work that we do that draws us to thinking in terms of facilitation?
I think, I don't know if it's because we're wired for it, but I think there is something about two minds. One is a lot of this work requires emotional intelligence. And so we're always like, especially if you're a good researcher or like thinking about user needs, right? Like you're constantly thinking, okay, what do those people need? How do we make sure that like a core part of our job is to go, I think of this as crassly, but like crassly is be the voice of the user in the room. And so, and I hate thinking about it that way because I'd rather have the user in the room, but that can't always happen because politics or whatever. But like, so we're constantly thinking about other people. And also if we're doing our job well, and like my team has come to call this content therapy of we have to be holding everyone's emotions because at the end of the day, we're usually not the executive. We're not the person holding the keys. We're not the person holding the cash. We're not the person like who gets to make the decisions. So all we have is soft power. All we have is to be able to build consensus to get to the thing we know is best, or to build the to sort of come to to come to the decision that everyone feels good about. And so some of it is people who are good at this tend towards this work. I think that is true of me, sort of. But also, I think it's also we've learned that this is how we get the work done and we make the work sustainable, because otherwise we can deliver the most beautiful information architecture or the best goddamn information content inventory we could. And then like, if you're a consultant, you leave and the next month it's all trash again, right? Like yeah, we did great work and we got paid, but go back to that website like 6, 12, 18 months later and you're like, well, that was a waste of time. And that's not great. So we have to, like, if we want our work to actually have lasting impact, I think we have to sort of like bring everyone together.
Do you think emotional intelligence, you said a lot of this work requires emotional intelligence. Is that something that's teachable? And the reason why I ask is it's sort of, as you say, it's sort of essential to this work, right? It's kind of a key part of being able to get the work done. You know, I've taught workshops on collaboration and difficult conversations and things like that. And there's, I'm in two minds. On the one hand, I want to believe that this is something that people can cultivate in themselves. But on the other hand, I acknowledge that people show up to the team with different strengths, and maybe we shouldn't expect emotional intelligence in everyone. But if I'm an aspiring UX designer, is this something I should be able to learn?
I'm not sure if it's teachable, but I do think it is learnable and it is nurturable. And the reason I say that is everyone comes like, this is something I've been figuring out for myself through like 3.5 fucking years of therapy, but like sometimes you're just not in the right place to get a message, right? Like, it took my therapist 3 years to get me to talk about trauma, right? Like, but then I started talking about trauma, and then I started unpacking it, and I was ready for it, and then I learned a lot, right? Like, and I think about this because I became a lot more empathetic towards myself, right? Even though I had and I think that's it's the same thing with emotional intelligence, right? Like, you have to be ready for it. And when you're ready for it, you can find people who will teach you, and you can find people who will sort of nurture that, and find communities that will nurture that. And so I think it is learnable, but the person who is trying to learn needs to be ready for it and needs to, and they might not know that they're ready for it. They might not even think about it that way. Like, it might just, like with me, it just happened one day. But yeah.
And it's also not the kind of thing where you're like, okay, on the list of skills that I would like to learn, I've got Photoshop, and I've got, you know, technical writing and emotional intelligence. Like, it's not one of those kinds of skills. So yeah. I think readiness is makes a lot of sense to me. I feel like this is kind of a good transition to our to the lens that we zeroed in on. To me, the emotional intelligence is not just in facilitating the work, but at least what I aspire to is that I design products, and this is not always the case, but that where you can at least trace the thread of that emotional intelligence, right? Where at least you can sort of see some notes of empathy or awareness of who the user is and what they're bringing to the table and what they're ready for. And obviously I design navigation systems, right? So it's like, there's only so much of that I can do, but I do want to be able to, the user to recognize themselves in the navigation more than they recognize me, for example. So all this is by way of kind of creating a platform for you to say, what lens did we pick and what does it mean to you?
So the lens that we picked was identity. And I want to push back on something you just said, which is, as an information architect, you can only do so much to help a user see themselves in something. And the reason, because I used to think that too, right? Like, I mean, I knew that it was like foundational and it was hidden below, but then I and a couple other folks were on a project, a few other folks were on a project with the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. And it was around getting mental health and addiction support to people who needed it. And originally, like, there was a website with a map to, and people could search by zip code or address or whatever, and then they'd get a list of, or they'd get a map of places around them, right? And that was about it. But then when we were building it and we were talking to people in recovery, we were talking to crisis counselors, we were talking to family members who helped them. And like, out of that, we helped sort of like design a new structure that didn't center around the map, but centered around helping people understand, like, figure out where they are in their process to recovery, and then give them information based on that. And then like walk them through the process, right? Like, here's what you need to know. Here's, as a family member, here's what you can do, right? Here's who you should call. Here are a few phone numbers. Here's how you figure out whether or not the facility is right for you. Here's how you like, and like, we helped walk people through that process. And that is fundamentally fucking information architecture, right? And the feedback we got when people started using it was, I see myself in this, right? And like, yes, there was so much more thoughtful, like so much stuff put into the thoughtfulness around the content, the copy, the visual design, the photos, and everything to make sure that people like saw themselves in there. But it was all built, like all of us were really intentional to say, to think about like, how does the fundamental structure like do that? And so IA is hidden, but it's not. It's hidden the way air is hidden, right? Like,
that's fair. That was a really great example and a really great story. And I am just so grateful that I could be here to hear it. Because you're right. I mean, it's, and I should be the first to say IA is not just navigation, right? That as we think about kind of what the underlying structure is that scaffolds or supports the overall experience, right? You took this notion of mental health and addiction support and you completely reframed it, right? You said, all right, well, support means more than just pointing you to a therapist. It means kind of understanding where you are in that journey and meeting you there at that journey. It sounded like this relied so much on user research. Like it sounds like based on the story you told me, you did so much user research to really kind of be able to internalize what that journey was like. As we think about how we can encourage others to apply this lens to their work, is research sort of just like a given, like you've got to be able to do that research or there's no way you'll be able to kind of recognize identity in the work that you do?
I think research is necessary, but insufficient. And the reason I say that is research only gets you to sympathy. It doesn't necessarily get you to empathy. And the reason I say that is I was only on that project for half the time because I was triggered the fuck out. And I was triggered the fuck out because I have people very close to me who have dealt with addiction. And so like I asked to be on the project because I knew that like I had a visibility into mental health and addiction that not everyone does, right? And so yes, research, but also research also has to lead to getting the people who are most affected into the room, right? Like the thing I think about most is for whom, by whom, for what purpose, right? Like, yes, it is for people, this project was for people dealing with addiction or helping someone through addiction or whatever, but they needed to be in the room to tell us what they needed. And research gets us part of the way there. But at its best, I think research helps us find the people so we can bring them in and have them like, as a designer, I feel like my job isn't to make the thing. My job is to make the conditions in which the thing can happen by the people who are most affected by it, right? Like, and so always do research, and also research will never be enough. Yeah.
That was really profound and great. I was recently on a project with a large pharmaceutical company, and they were trying to build an app for patients participating in clinical trials. And I too was triggered by it because I think I was the only one on the team who A, had any sort of chronic conditions, and B, had ever participated in a clinical trial. And what you're helping me see is the resentment that I felt was that there was not a acknowledgement of my value as someone affected by this as much as my value as a designer, right, who could participate, who could help facilitate the process. And I was angry and triggered by it because, and I see now, I think it was because there was not an eagerness to tap into that expertise as much as I tried to do it gently and sensitively. So it was, thank you for helping me see that.
I think it is really easy for designers to go in like, we're the experts. We're the ones who know the best way to do this. And we sort of like dive in with the best intentions, but we end up being saviors. Like, we're going to Jesus our way into your project, and with design thinking and body storming, which I fucking love, like, figure out the best thing. When the reality is, like, people know what they need. Let them tell us. Let them guide us. Right? Like, and I talk about, like, I try to think about this in, because I've spent all my time in civic spaces, in journalism and government and in activism, like, people know what they need. And those of us with the resources and the power shouldn't be making decisions for them. We should be handing over the keys.
So I've been ending each of these conversations asking folks, how do they coach newer designers in the space, right? I feel like we've had ample opportunity in our careers to reflect on these things. But I felt like I had a 10-year opportunity to kind of really sort of sink myself into that stuff and think about it before user experience became hot, right? Because, and everyone was paying attention to it. Now a designer drops themselves into the field and I feel like there's sort of tremendous more pressure on them to deliver things fast, to sort of get swept up in software development methodologies and are not given the space, shall we say, to sort of reflect, not just do harder, complex work, you know, the space to do that complex work, but also the space to just sort of reflect on the work that they're doing. So I've been framing this question in terms of the lens itself, but if you want to just talk more generally about design, about user experience, about content strategy, how would you help someone apply this lens, or how would you coach a newer designer who's kind of just getting started in this area?
I will do the lens of identity because I think it's really important, because because as I think about coaching and mentoring and sponsoring people, the thing I want isn't diversity, right? Like, I don't want, like, I don't want someone to just be like the one Black designer or the one trans designer or like, I don't want to, the point for me isn't ticking the boxes. The point for me is to get the voice of someone who has historically been misrepresented and underrepresented and historically marginalized to have a voice based on their experience and their expertise and how they see the world, right? Like, I see so many organizations and companies who, like, just go chasing numbers. We need more Hispanic, we need more Latinx like engineers, or we need more women engineers or whatever. And yeah, that's like, that is important, but what is like just as important as getting those people in the door is making sure that like they are able to not just contribute their ability to write code or write CSS or use Figma or whatever the fuck else. They need to be able to contribute the fact that like they can see how this thing that we're going to try to implement for liveliness detection for your authentication system is going to miss or mistake like 40 to 60% of Black people, right? Like they, because they know that and we don't, because we're just like, ooh, toy, I've found a good way to use this. And they're like, wait a minute, right? Like, and so for me, when I sort of coach and mentor people, I'm like, how can we use that? Let's find you a place where you can use that as an asset. Let's find you a company or an organization or a place to grow where someone, yes, is going to teach you how to do agile or teach you how to like pair or whatever else. But also let's find you a place that respects and listens to you based on your lived experiences. And I mean, that makes my job so much goddamn harder, but like, otherwise people just leave this industry left and right. We know that, right? Like, and so that's what I try to think about the most, like making sure that people go to places and places become places where the identity of the people on their team is just as important as their ability to close tickets.
Cordelia, that was fantastic. I think we will leave it there. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much.